If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for Closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Astar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with Destiny.
Greetings in the light of the Most Radiant One. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Astar Command. This evening, we have a really interesting topic, and it's releasing the power of your destiny. Hidden in your path of destiny is the key to your power. It forms the warp and the woof of your whole life's journey, and everything that happens in your day-to-day activities. Your entire life is unfolding a destiny pattern, preset before you embodied. Your life pattern and all of its ups and downs, trials and tests, overcoming victories, forms what you could call your destiny line. So, let's take a moment here and do a kind of a flyover, if you will, as we change our perspective to one of being far, far, far above your physical body. So just take a deep breath and relax. And visualize yourself just ever so gently park in a position where you can look down on your life. Expand your vision screen so that you can get a sense of overall patterning. These would be reoccurring scenarios that you find yourself caught up in again and again and again. So just notice the overall theme. For example, if you were going to write a play and cast yourself as a character in the play, what would you cast yourself as? What would be your character definition? Can you get a sense of that? And what are some of the major dramas that you seem to be enacting again and again? Be very honest with yourself. Who are you, and what character are you portraying on this stage of your life? Go up even higher if you need to. Rise up very, very high. Get the point of view of the impersonal self, the witness. You are not your temporary role enactment. We speak of that in each show. In fact, your destiny is to experience and become aware of yourself as unlimited consciousness. You are actually formless, all-pervasive, blissful, ever-creative consciousness itself, adopting any and all forms as you wish, any type of form, any type of manifestation, as you wish, but completely free of the need to be identified with a singular form. That is your, let's say, overall destiny. You can't escape it. You can't evade it. You can't lose it. It's yours. And why is that? Because in highest truth, there is one divine self, And you are that self. Call it spirit. Call it consciousness. Call it the awareness of the all that is. That is who you are. Not as an amorphous mass that loses a sense of personal identity, but more one that expands to where you awaken within all things as all things. And that state, of course, is God realization. Now, the only thing that keeps us from being in that state all the time is a little fiction that we have bought into and agreed to called personal singular definition of self, or the personal self. The impersonal self is all selves, but the personal self gets very fixated on who it is within the gerbil cage of the time-space continuum, and wants to make life be all about that, which, of course, totally does not work. The more we try to define ourselves in limitation, the more we set ourselves up for failure, because it's not about that. True, we, as the all that is, decided to become the many, so that we could experience individual identification. But now is the time when we are returning back into the unified field, where we are letting go of the singular small story, so that we can emerge as the grand, great cosmic story. So as you look down in your life, and you gain a sense of what your drama is about, exactly where do you see yourself placing your major emphasis at this time? And this could have a lot to do with your stage in life, your age, your cycle, of where you are in the season of your existence, because these things change as we mature and work through things. We change our focus. But is your current life as it is now about your work, career, family, relationship dynamics, possessions, making more money, coping with illness or physical handicap of yourself or another, addictive patterns, maybe it's incarceration, or searching for personal significance, identity, truth, even God, or self-realization. So based on where you can see yourself headed today, being very impersonal and objective about it, can you foresee the outcome of the destination that you'll be arriving at, given you continuing on this particular path? You know, if you can learn to view your choices from above the timeline, which is what we're doing here, you will be able to foresee the effects of choices that you make down the road. And you will never, ever need to visit another psychic to find out what's going to happen in your life, because you'll become so skilled at this expanded soul transcendental perception of your life that you can clearly see, okay, if I do this action and I rise up above the timeline, I can see exactly what's going to unfold and the ramifications. And that way you can head yourself off at the pass, so to speak, and not make choices that you could see down the line could lead to effects that you don't want to implement. So this is part of self-mastery and moving into the mastery of the consciousness stream that you inhabit. We are to master each of those levels so that we can foresee the effect of the exercising of thought and intention in a specific direction, and see if that's truly goal-fitting in terms of what our objective is. So, again, who or what is the driving force behind your destiny, your life path? Who's fueling, or what is fueling your destiny? Is it personal ambition? Emotional needs and demands? Is it mental concepts and belief systems? Do you have certain ideas about what life in the world and who you are as an individual, what that's all about? Do you have a driving agenda to point out some social injustice, or to embrace some cause that needs to be addressed in the world? Is that what your destiny line is about in this embodiment? For some, it might be an addictive pattern or craving, something that is constantly causing them to have to deal with something that they're very attached to. It could be something, anything from alcohol and drugs, sex, food, sanity. The obsession with appearance. Here in Hollywood, some people have obsessions about their weight or their size or how their face or their nose looks or their body, and they're constantly going to having plastic surgery and things of this nature. It could be bodybuilding. Well, your whole life's about building more body mass and more muscle. It could even be asceticism, where you become fanatically addicted to certain ascetic practices. It could be an area of psychophobic paranoia. So when it falls into those areas, this is what we would call momentums that have been set in motion from a previous time that you now must face and deal with. And this would be a karmic luggage, let's say. It's something you've brought in with you when you have to deal with these things. But because we're at the end of the time that we're going to have a third density planet to work these things through, for many, many people, these things are right up in their face and need to be handled now. So if your drama is involving some form of recovery program, then this is what you need to be involved with, that you can get a handle on this particular behavior, modify it, and exit the arena where it's driving you. So there's also, aside from a karmic destiny, a person who might be on a dharmic destiny. Dharma is the Sanskrit word which means your God-fueled destiny. And this would be where you're being filled and fueled by the divine spirit and guided and unfolding in a spiritually responsive and attuned manner. This, of course, would apply to many of you who have listened to my shows for a long period of time. Presumably, you're extremely interested in stepping out of the illusion and embracing of your truth. So, because Earth, as I've said many times, is in a time lag, your destiny has already been fulfilled in the higher realms beyond time. That's why you can attune to that which has already been fulfilled and move your awareness into that at any point and integrate and embody it. But to integrate and embody that vaster self, you're going to have to make some room for it. And if you're all clogged up with the illusions and the glamours of who you think you are as a separate identity, and try to attach your identity on something that's temporal and just a temporary identity, then you don't have much room for the vastness to come in. So some of us are in the great experience of disillusionment, disenglamourment, where the things that we have invested so much of our interest and attention into, suddenly we say, well, I don't even believe in that anymore. It's just a bunch of illusion. And you're stepping quickly out of these former illusions that you have used to fuel and inspire your life with a sense of purpose and direction. So the Earth, time, space, and all form definition are simply serving the purpose of being temporary staging arenas holodecks, if you will, for programmed scenarios to unfold. And I use the word pre-programmed here. Your destiny in time and space has already been pre-programmed. In truth, you don't have any free will down here. There is only God's will, which actually, in highest truth, is your will. There's not a will that's God's will and your will. There's only the will of that which is, in truth, already certain of its outcome, which is why the closer you get into the integration of your divine self, the less you have any concern about anything. You are in a state of ananda, or bliss, or that stage of equanimity, where you observe life like so many passing clouds before the face of the sun. And I've often given this analogy, and I will give it again, because I think every time you think in these terms, it gives you a sense of relief and rest. Because I think so much of our fear and agitation and worry comes from trying to control outcome and manipulate events to please us in a way that they're already set up for the highest good. And really, the less we try to do with them, the better, and the more peace we will have. This doesn't mean that we abrogate our responsibility to make wise choices, because we do have wiggle room in that area. We do choose to elect into various behaviors and directions within the given dynamics of our life. But aside from that, the example I like to give is the rides that you would see at Disney World or Disneyland or a theme park, where, for example, they have the little cruise boats or ships that go on a pre-programmed course. And if you look underneath the boat, you'll see there's a big, thick cable that draws it along a certain prescribed route and brings it right back to the docking mechanism. But you also have the captain at the helm, and he's really putting on a show as if he were the one that was in charge of the direction of the boat and navigating it. And that's exactly the way the little ego personality, the little individual I, the mini-me, is at the helm of one's life, thinking it is putting on, you know, it's in charge of the direction of its life, its ship of life. And it's putting on this big show and carrying on, but underneath is the cable of the destiny, pulling it along a pre-programmed and predestined path. And our lives in time and space is exactly like that. In fact, the scriptures teach us that God controls even the slightest little leaf that falls, has numbered every little hair on your head, has ordered the days of your life and your going and your coming, and all things are under these divine momentums that we could call the divine plan. It's unfolding in an impeccable ordering that really we have not the slightest bit of power to disrupt. Regardless of what appears to be enacted on the world stage, everything is progressing just perfectly the way it was set up to. Souls are working through their karma. They are unfolding their divine destiny plans. And everything is moving in an inexorable perfection to a predestined denouement, if you will, which is the unification of all separate consciousness back into the unified field that we could call the Christ consciousness or divine love or any of the metaphors you want to call it, nirvana, samadhi, which really means the becoming of the sameness, so that everything is seen as the one, and the differences fall away and aren't noticed anymore. You could call that ascension, too, or rapture. There's all these words that define this, but it basically boils down to the same thing. So, the life that has been chosen by you before you were born, some people can refer to it or do refer to it as fate or kismet or the destiny. But the wiggle room that we have once we have embodied basically is a matter of timing. And you can decide when you will accept conscious, and I emphasize that word, conscious responsibility for your life choices. You know, you can choose the hard way under the Lords of Karma, and the Lords of Karma make sure that you eat what's on your karmic plate. They make sure that every T is crossed and every I is dotted, and every little jot and tittle of the law is fulfilled. And that would apply to your ego, which means it has absolutely no wiggle room at all. It simply must go through the effects of what it has set in motion. So ignorance is the cause of all unhappiness, problem, and sorrow. And it's simply ignorance of who and what you truly are. So all of the outer world, this is really something that, you know, if you want a good seed thought to meditate on, the entire outer world that you dream you see when you open your eyes is projected entirely from beliefs and thoughts and given all of the meaning and definition and significance it has by you alone. So apart from your, let's say, DNA programming, that is the world that you see when you open your eyes. It is generated from out of your own beingness. So you can choose to transcend this law of the ego's projection of separate existence and transcend it by leaving the law and moving into grace, which we've spoken of many times. Grace comes through surrendering your individual agendas to the divine, embracing the divine as your master, your teacher, your guru, as the Lord of your life and heart, and then working to attune yourself to your highest divine destiny, not the permissive destiny that's allowed the little ego to have as much time as it wants playing its games, but when you wish to have the highest divine outcome begin to operate through you. So whether you choose to work through your life destiny through karmic law or grace, your basic purpose for taking the physical embodiment shows up as the specific details that you face in your daily life and relationships. Now, how you react to situations you face in your life has a great deal to do with your level of spiritual maturity. You'll notice that young, immature souls are very identified with their personal, separate identity. And they see themselves as separate. The immature neophyte will always invariably play the victim and blame game. The neophyte blames and sees outer circumstances and other people as the cause of any of their problems. And in truth, it's all about the fact that they're ignorant, that they're projecting the life that they are experiencing out of their own a lack of awareness of who they truly are. But, you know, you cannot scream at a little green apple on the tree and expect it to mature overnight. The immature neophyte soul just needs a lot more experience. The more that they have experience in the game of life, and the more they suffer as a result of playing the blame and victim game, the more they will eventually get tired of that and seek another path. Now, the matured or initiated soul sees beyond the external circumstances to the overall objective of spiritual emancipation. And they are able to, again, become responsible for their choices and to assume responsibility for their life as it is outpictured, knowing that they have set in motion and projected the details of how their life is unfolding. So, again, a spiritually matured soul realizes that his life pattern is for him to master, and that the challenges he faces and surmounts are the means to both his spiritual emancipation and self-mastery. So the old matured soul looks beyond the manifestation of form to the one divine essence indwelling all things. So hidden within the problematic areas of your destiny plan is your key to empowerment. Your problem, when it is faced and overcome, becomes your power. So you turn your problem into power when you have confronted and mastered it. And the neophyte just wants the problems to go away, for God to deliver him from his problems. But the initiate has a whole different attitude. The initiate sees the problem as an opportunity to exercise self-governance, self-mastery, and self-proficiency, let's say, in exercising the keys to soul transcendence. Soul transcendence is where you make a choice to live above the line of karma and time and form, and you choose to take a divine perspective and divine approach to settling whatever it is that you are confronted with. So the most important thing, if you want to free yourself from sorrow, you need to remember that you are not the body. These sense organs have absolutely no connection with you. They are associated with the body. So the body, the purpose of the body is for doing work, but not to identify yourself with the body or the work. You have taken birth in this body as a result of your past actions, which are called in Sanskrit karma, which is simply the word action. So action calls for reaction. And so you must use the body for performing karma or actions. So you learn to do your duty and perform your actions, but to offer the fruit to the divine so that you don't do anything with personal agenda. Because if you do, then you create more karma. If you do them without personal attachment, offering the results to God as the one doer within you, then you don't have any karmic repercussion. You live then above the karma line, and you live through grace, and you're free. And you're living as a free soul, even though you're walking through a daily life on the physical planet. So that's the ideal, to live in that manner, so that you don't create more luggage and more baggage for you to lug around. Now, this delusion of yourself with the idea that the body is yours, when it's really not yours, is the major problem area for everyone. This is what is generating scenarios that are less than, let's say, fulfilling, peaceful, joyful, happy, and God-focused. Because we are approaching an area and trying to work out of a field of ignorance, which is under the law of karma. And that law, again, will bring your nose up to that problem again and again and again until you can transcend it and see through it. So, you know, that is what you call Maya, or ignorance, complete ignorance, is operating with the understanding in your mind that you are a body, you are the doer, and in fact, the belief that you can actually do anything of any significance is a complete illusion. Because when you're in a field of illusion, how can you do anything that has lasting results? You can't. The Bible calls such works of straw that are burned up at the end of the day and signify nothing. So if you want works of gold, the works of gold are the works that come out of the Dharma of you knowing who you are and operating from divine awareness consciously. So that's the trick, is to exercise divine awareness consciously in each stage of your life. So also, within your body is the spiritual heart, and within that heart is the divine principle called God or the Atma. So also in your body is the individualized expression, which we call the soul. And these two, God and the individual, appearing to live separately inside the body, are just simply interacting and playing together, acting out their parts in a grand drama. And they come together and they go apart again as directed by the author with a capital A, who has written the play. And this divine author assigns all the separate roles of good and bad, virtue and sin. But in truth, there is only the one divinity that is playing all of these parts. And that is the unified field that we call the Holy Spirit or God consciousness. So, as long as you have the delusion of the body, these two, God and the soul, seem to remain separate. And they seem to be enjoying their play with each other. But as soon as divine realization comes, they merge into the one, all-pervasive divine principle, and all delusion, along with all fear and sorrow and suffering, utterly vanishes and disappears. So it's important to cultivate that sense that everything which exists is one and the same entity, and not to allow your senses to pull you away from the feeling of unity and equanimity. Thus, you will cultivate a heart that is free from sorrow and elation, attachment and hatred, and you will be unaffected by censure or praise, and you will begin to treat all people equally. When you firmly believe that everything in this creation is the manifestation of divinity, then you will become steeped in wisdom and freed from all illusion. Then you will have realized the true purpose for which you've been born as a human being. And once you see the one everywhere you look, and you know that one to be your very self, the Atma, and you realize the Atma, you will be, from that moment on, forever free. And that is really worth everything, to get to the stage where you are free. Isn't that what everyone wants, to be utterly free? To do what they want to do when they want to do it, to be what they want to be when they want to be it. Well, you can't do that by believing you're a separate individual, a separate little ego self, a mini-me just doesn't work. So this whole of your life destiny is a journey from the unified field of the one self through the temporary journey of singular identity as the mini-me, and returning back to that unified field of unlimited, unconditioned, all-pervasive divine awareness and consciousness itself. And that's the whole journey that we call the passage through time and space, being and becoming, and back, of course, to the state of the absolute beingness of all. So the truth is that you and God are one, the same in analogy as the wave is identical and part of the sea, or the ray of sunlight is part and parcel of the sun. So although we're a small portion of the sea and a small portion of the sunlight when we are manifested in time and space, the quality is identical. And that's the way to think of the divine. Now, hidden within your destiny are your points of empowerment. So, hidden underneath your self-doubt and all of its insecurity is your self-confidence. And when you have issues with self-confidence, guess what you attract into your life? People who judge you and criticize you and castigate you and bring before you your failures and the areas where you yourself feel very doubtful and insecure. But at some point, you will rise up on your sturdy little divine legs and you'll say, wait a cotton picking moment. I know that I know that I know that I am. And in that moment, you began to repossess yourself and take back your power from people's opinions and people's judgments and people's shoulds and shouldn'ts and all of their agenda that they project on you by your own lack of self-trust and self-confidence. You attract these kind of people. And once you step into self-confidence, they will be no more to be found. You will never attract them into your life again once you have stepped into the power of self-confidence. And boy, that was a major one for me, so I can really speak from experience on that particular one. I attracted very critical parents, very critical people in my life, and I had tremendous self-doubt and lack of self-confidence in my early years. But now, many decades later, I can say I have the most outrageous confidence in myself. And it's because I had to get it out from under all of the self-doubt and insecurity I brought in as part of my karmic path in this lifetime. Second is faith, and unconditional trust is the power lurking under doubt in God's existence. Yeah. If you truly believe in God and believe in God as an experiential reality, not as a religious ideal, but as an experiential reality, which comes from living and experiencing the divine, if you doubt that God loves and provides for you, then it's very difficult to have faith and unconditional trust, because this is actually developed by living and experiencing and being again and again and again provided for. In fact, I was making a list the other day of all the things that God does for me. And I had several pages of stuff that God does for me that shows me God's love, God's provision, God's protection, God's supervision, and God's presence in my life. So you might want to do that here in the United States. We're going to celebrate Thanksgiving tomorrow. And what a perfect time to do a little journaling about the ways God is showing up in your life and demonstrating love, protection, provision. I mean, you can look at it from a Vedic and a Dvaitic point of view, too, in that God takes care of God. Can you imagine God not taking care of God? So if you were God's incarnation as you, don't you think there's going to be love and provision and protection for you? So faith and unconditional trust and yielding to this divine comes with experiencing life and maturing spiritually. Again, your true identity is hidden underneath emotional attachment to feelings. And this is called in the ancient wisdom teachings, glamour. Glamour is undue emotional attachment to certain feelings. And you begin to have those feelings and build up a whole drama around these particular feelings, but they're not real. They're astral glamour, and they have to be overcome. And generally, they're overcome by doing a meditation like the one we started with, by rising up above your body and looking very objectively and clearly upon certain areas of your life. This is called soul transcendence. If you can move your awareness above your emotional feeling and just look at it, you can dissolve it, because glamour is kind of like a fog that dissolves when you look at it too clearly through the light of your higher consciousness. Your true identity is also hidden by your mental illusions. An illusion is an attachment to a concept, worldview, or belief system that, again, is predicated on the separate self. So mental illusions are dissolved by soul awareness, soul transcendence. So you get above the feelings and you get above your thoughts by moving into your soul awareness, which is an expanded viewpoint that you take above your personality, your thoughts, and your feelings, where you see them like your body has something very separate from who you are, which is beyond all of that. And then you will have a noble and pure character, full of virtue, as your power, which is hidden underneath all the little petty deceits that we run in our life. And hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is a word that means play acting. Play acting that you're something when you're not that. And when you let go of the deceit, when you let go of the play acting, and you are who you truly are, you will find that the spiritual self, the dharmic self, the atmic self, is very noble and virtuous and has strong, pure character. Again, your moral strength, which is a tremendous power, is hidden by weakness in self-control and lack of self-discipline. So you see, your power lies in those areas that are those big challenges for you. The power of a pure heart that sees only God is hidden by a vengeful, bitter heart that's ever attacking and judging others. The heart is one quality that your deportment and point of view towards others reveals the state of your heart. So watch what comes out of your mouth with regards to others, and you will have a very clear readout on the state of your heart. Because in the Beatitudes, Jesus said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." So you know your heart is pure when that is all you notice. That is all you see. And until then, just keep asking for a pure heart, really, because the end of all spiritual practice is to cultivate purity of heart. Again, the power of peace of mind and peace of heart, which are really one and the same thing, that deep peace that passes all understanding, is hidden by our attempt and addictive demand to control and dictate outcome. We're little control freaks, and that's why we don't have peace of mind and heart. We we lack faith and unconditional trust in God. So always trying to manipulate things to our favor when we're totally clueless what anything is for and what would truly benefit us. We really, really are clueless as an ego as to what is the ideal outcome. The more we try to fix things and change things, the more of a mess we make. So again, it's getting in attunement and linked in with the divine will and the divine program and letting that flow us through grace through life. And that is the path of grace instead of the path of karma. So our greatest gift is spiritual freedom. When you are free in your soul, when you are free spiritually, when you are free inwardly and outwardly, that is the greatest power. And that spiritual freedom, believe it or not, is hidden by the fear of death, which comes, again, by identifying ourselves with our body. You know, when you know that you are unlimited, free, ever-flowing, all-pervasive awareness, divine consciousness itself, and you know that as a direct spiritual realization, you have absolutely no fear of life, you have no fear of death, and you have no fear of what happens to your body. That is the greatest state you could possibly aspire to. I think that's one of the greatest fears that people have that really dogs them and makes them miserable is the fear of death. And the Course in Miracles says, Jesus speaks in the Course in Miracles of death being the central illusion from which all other illusions spring. It's an illusion. And yet it's inevitable that everything that has a form has got to leave, disintegrate, dissolve, and disappear. We call that disappearance death. But in truth, it is simply an obsolete thought form that's come to the end of its usability, and it needs to be discarded. So the belief that we are a body becomes obsolete at some point, because within the illusion, there's just a small span of time that illusion exists, and then it dissipates, because only truth is eternal. And the truth is that you have eternal life. You're living an eternal life right now. There's absolutely no way you can cease to be. Nothing that you can do can cause you not to live, not to exist. You will always exist. That which God created is exactly like God. And God is life, so God can only manifest life, not death. Death has no part in truth or life. So once you overcome that dweller, I would call it a dweller on the threshold of your happiness, which is the fear of death, once you overcome that, you have such a sense of freedom, you become so happy because you just began to enjoy every day and the wonderment of the transitions of consciousness that we call birth and death and all these things. These are just changing viewpoints that consciousness adopts, and it becomes such a play and such a joy and such a love that you really start to live for the first time fully. So I think the biggest test that we all are faced with that shows up in our life, probably in the form that gives us the most pain, and also contains the key to our greatest power. The area I am referring to is our desire to be loved and wanted. And we have such, along with that, such a fear of rejection and abandonment and betrayal, criticism, disapproval, fear of other people, because we want to be loved and desired and needed. So the tests, again, will come as people who reject and betray, abandon, disappoint, disapprove, criticize, and let you down in some way. And these tests can come even as a tyrannical boss or others that you can never seem to please, or getting fired from your job, or evicted from your home, or children who rebel and reject you, unfaithful spouses, or friends who betray your trust. You see, we can all identify with these experiences because we all at some point have all of these experiences. And where do they come from? Putting the desire to be fulfilled in a love, romantic way outside of where it can be found. You can't project that love that you are outside in a desire and a need and a limitation. You know, that sets yourself up immediately for the dynamic of rejection and loss. So again, your weakness is projecting love outside on some form, outside of yourself, and failing to see yourself as the love you seek. I know it gets pretty esoteric, doesn't it? But that's the truth of it. Once you find out and experience yourself as love, you become so full of love you think you're going to explode. You find everything is lovable when you've discovered your own love. But the fact is, all human love, out of the mini-me, is very conditional. And when you project personal demands and desires and hopes and expectations outside yourself into the world or upon another person, they must let you down in some way to let you know that that approach will not lead to spiritual liberation, nor to the unconditional love that you alone are designed to manifest. You are the love you seek. Your love has simply been covered up and hidden from your experience by the illusion of separation. This illusion of being somehow separate from love and needing love from an outer projected form is what we call the false self. And this false self is projected from a mental distortion that we call the ego mind. So all of these paths of angst and romantic attachment, heartache, unrequited love, all of this drama around securing and acquiring and attempting to maintain romantic love ends in this eventual loss. People change, they leave you, you go through divorce or death, but the search begins anew until you look beyond the outer into your own inner wellsprings of love. And you will find and experience your divine self as true love. And when you discover that you are love, your divine true self is not else but love, that love is your true identity and natural expression. So when you discover yourself as love, you will discover in the same instant that love is all there is around you and in everyone, and the bliss you experience and the love that you experience radiating from everyone and everything will leave you with no pain, no sorrow, no disappointment, and you will not even be aware of anything else but love from that point onward. So, on your way to this grand realization that your true self and love are one and the same, your life will continue to present you with a continual parade of people and scenarios, giving you the opportunity to see beyond the illusion of separation to the one love and the one beloved in and as all that exists. Your power of unconditional true love is hidden in your life's destiny pattern. As romantic heartbreak and disappointment is transcended and you discover that you are that eternal love, you will have the greatest fulfillment and the greatest romance of your existence. And that is permanent. That is for you forever. And you will never, ever lose it. So let's go out and let's chant. Let's do some Hughes, the beautiful name of God. Take a deep breath. The love that you are, and God evening, Adonai.